Brothers, if we turn to mid-afternoon prayer, right before and right after, there are two dimensions of reports and discussions, one on the working group on immigration issues and the other on the working group for forming consciences for faithful citizenship. I'll ask Monsignor.
Thank you, Your Eminence. Bishops, the President over lunch conferred with the presenters for those two items that he just mentioned. Given the fact that we have a hard stop at 3 o'clock today because a portion of this room has to be deconstructed to allow for the assembly space for the celebration of Mass later, the President and the presenters have decided that we'll begin with the forming consciences discussion first this afternoon, and then that will be followed by the immigration discussion, and then there'll be time for Q&A, or the immigration presentation, then there'll be time for Q&A for both right after that. And then we'll have a hard stop at currently at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Your Eminence.
All righty. Thanks, Monsignor. Archbishop, we're ready. Bishop Vasquez is coming, I guess.
Good afternoon to everyone. So I do my best to go really fast. Dear brothers, I'm here to present an update on the activities of the working group on forming consciences for faithful citizenship. This is not an action item, but simply an update. I will provide this update in three steps. First, I will describe the mandate that you gave to the working group last year. Second, I will report on what the working group has done so far to fulfill that mandate. And third, I will describe what else the working group must do to complete its work. Brothers, you will see up on the screen the full text of the mandate that you approved at our last June meeting by a margin of 77%. In short, it calls for the production of two documents, a short letter and a video script. Both documents have the same purpose, to complement the existing faithful citizenship document and to highlight the teachings of Pope Francis. These two new documents are not mainly to inform, but to inspire. The lengthy faithful citizenship document already does plenty to explain our teaching, and it will remain untouched. These additional documents are, instead, to motivate people to act on that teaching. The president of the conference, Cardinal Di Nardo, has chosen the working group to carry out this mandate. He chose them the same way they have been chosen before. He appointed the vice president of the conference as the chairman of the working group, and so I am before you today. For the remaining members of the working group, Cardinal Di Nardo chose the elected chairman of all the USCCB committees that address public policy, as well as some other relevant committees, such as doctrine, communications, cultural diversity, and evangelization and catechesis. Together, these chairmen represent a broad cross-section of the conference. So to carry out this mandate, I have appointed two drafting committees from among the members of the working group, one to produce each document. Each committee has four members. Archbishop Broglio, Chairman of the International Justice and Peace, is leading the video script drafting committee. And Bishop DeWayne, Chairman of the Domestic Justice and Human Development, is leading the group drafting the short letter. I have chosen these two because the Chairman of International and Domestic have traditionally had a leadership role in drafting earlier versions of faithful citizenship and related documents. So our entire working group got two conference calls earlier this year to set the general direction for the drafting committees, which then proceeded to generate two drafts. They have done very fine work very quickly, and I'm grateful to them for that. And just yesterday, our entire working group met in person to discuss and refine those drafts. As you might expect, the challenge with these drafts is to keep things short. The mandate you gave us called specifically for a short letter. And our friends in communications reminded us that videos must be also short if we want to get many viewers and hold their attention. And as you can imagine, keeping it short has required discipline and creativity. Our target for the short letter has been 750 words, using the length of a typical op-ed as our measure. But this has been a challenge. As we have experienced in the past, there is always a desire to add words and ideas, but rarely a desire to subtract. By the time we are done, I hope we will be close to this mark of 750 words. And for the videos, we will be generating 4 90-second videos, each of which can stand alone. We will also string them together to make the 5th video of about 6 minutes in length. So, brothers, this is the work we have done so far, but we still have quite a bit to do. First, we will incorporate all the changes from our meeting yesterday to generate a revised draft. We will then have another conference call to review and approve the drafts so that they can be done by the end of July. This is when documentation, as you know, is due for the Administrative Committee meeting in September. That committee will then review the documents and put them on the agenda for the General Assembly in November. The entire body of bishops will then have the opportunity to amend the 2 documents and vote on them. If approved, the letter will be done, but the videos will go into production right away. The goal will be to complete the videos by the end of January, before any elections get underway. To speed that process, we have already selected a video production company, and we are beginning to work with them. So that's, brothers, that's my update on the activities of the Faithful Citizenship Working Group. And Your Eminence, if you think it's okay, I welcome any questions you may have, or maybe the questions can be at the end after the other presentation.
I think it might be wise to wait till you've done the second presentation and do double questions together. That'll give us all more time. So if you want to go to the other one on immigration.
Okay. Now for the second, Bishop Vasquez is here. Yes, okay. So now, the second presentation is on the Working Group on Immigration. I guess I belong to a lot of working groups, no? That's good. So, dear brothers, now I'm here to provide an update on migration and refugee matters and the deliberations of the Immigration Working Group. I'm joined by Bishop Joe Vasquez, Chairman of the Committee on Migration. So before addressing some of the policy initiatives of Congress and this administration, let me mention briefly 2 of the church's pastoral initiatives in this area. In the fall of 2017, Pope Francis called on all of us to walk in the shoes of our brothers and sisters in need, and the Share the Journey campaign was born. It was spearheaded internationally by Caritas Internationalis and was organized jointly in the United States by the USCCB, Catholic Relief Services, and Catholic Charities USA. In the interest of time, I will not detail the activities we have undertaken over these last 2 years. But I will say that it has been a joy for many of us to participate in this effort. The Share the Journey campaign will end in the United States with a series of events on June 20th to mark World Refugee Day. The second pastoral initiative comes from the 5th Encuentro. His final declaration called for a national platform to accompany, educate, and defend the social, civic, and spiritual needs of the documented and undocumented immigrant community. This is envisioned as a coordinated action at the local level with dioceses. It was seen as urgently needed among the current crisis of inhumane and immoral treatment of asylum seekers, families, unaccompanied minors at the southern border. I am pleased to report that a working group, including the USCCB, CRS, Clinic, and Catholic Charities USA, has been formed to carry forward this vision for our church's support on immigrants and refugees. So those are the two initiatives, pastoral initiatives, that I wanted to mention to you. Then, let's move to migration policy. At most, the administration will admit 30,000 refugees to the United States in this fiscal year, 2019. This is the lowest since the founding of the program in 1980. Over those 38 years, the average annual limit has been 95,000 refugees. So it marks the third year in a row that the administration has reduced the number of people arriving as refugees, those escaping violence and persecution and seeking a dignified life. As Bishop Vasquez put it when this policy was announced, and I quote, "Resettlement in our country is a way we live out our gospel call to welcome the persecuted into our communities, individuals and families with no viable options to stay where they are or return home." End of quote. Now with that, I give the podium to Bishop Vasquez, and I will return with some concluding points at the end.
Thank you, Archbishop. Brothers, in addition to the drastic cuts to refugee resettlement, we wanted to highlight two other major issues in migration policy. As you know, the current administration not only has targeted the undocumented population in our country, but has also sought to end existing immigration programs. Two such efforts have been the ending of the DACA Deferred Action to Childhood Arrivals program, which was undertaken in September 2017, and the non-renewal of a majority of the country designations for TPS, Temporary Protected Status, which has occurred in an ongoing manner since 2017. The result is continued uncertainty, and in some cases, a lack of legal status for over 2 million Dreamers and TPS holders. At this time, it is estimated that approximately 700,000 DACA recipients and 400,000 TPS holders have reprieve from deportation due solely to ongoing litigation in our federal courts. Although Congress has often stated an interest to act in this area, it has thus far failed to do so. However, in this legislative session, we have begun to see some progress. On June 4th, the House of Representatives passed H.R. 6, the American Dream and Promise Act, which provides legislative protection and a path to citizenship to over 2 million Dreamers and TPS holders. However, we have a long way to go to ensure support in the Senate. I ask you, brothers, to reach out to senators and encourage them to support legislation such as the DREAM Act and the SECURE Act, which have been endorsed by the USCCB Committee on Migration. Like the bill that recently passed the House, these two Senate bills provide protection for Dreamers and TPS holders, respectively. We can also redouble our efforts to offer spiritual support and access to legal and social services to affected families. It is vital that they feel supported by the church during this time of uncertainty. Another pressing matter is the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border and the growing limits of access to asylum. The total number of apprehensions of individuals along the border has grown significantly this year, from 58,000 in January to over 144,000 in May. As you are aware, a significant portion of these totals have been of vulnerable humanitarian arrivals at our border, namely families and unaccompanied children. Family arrivals especially are increasing. In March, we saw about 53,000 family members being apprehended by Customs and Border Protection, CBP. There were 58,000 in April and 84,000 in May. Although in the past we used to see mostly single male laborers from Mexico, we are now seeing families and unaccompanied children, vulnerable groups fleeing violence, poverty, and persecution from the Northern Triangle countries of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. In the largest receiving border sectors of El Paso, Rio Grande Valley, and Yuma, Catholic entities are the most extensive service providers for families. They offer humanitarian respite for 600 to 1,000 family members a day in some cases, all without financial assistance from the federal government. They work to provide for the needs of these tired families, a warm meal, a change of clothes, and assistance with travel to final destinations. Brothers, the above-mentioned dioceses and other dioceses along the border are increasing services to families. They need more volunteers and more financial help to purchase items and assist in travel. If any of you have the possibility to purchase items and assist in travel, please contact Bill Canny, Executive Director of MRS, and he will help make the connection necessary. The larger needs of these families remains legal and social assistance in the city of destination. This is to ensure compliance with immigration court proceedings and family well-being. While our local Catholic network works productively with local CBP officers, it is important to understand that the administration provides no support to assist in these efforts. Rather, we are seeing new policies that make it harder for vulnerable people to claim asylum and access to protection. Two such policies are the Migrant Protection Protocols, otherwise known as Remain in Mexico policy, and the policy of metering at the ports of entry. The Migrant Protection Protocol was implemented in January and continues to be rolled out across the border. It requires that certain asylum seekers wait in Mexico while their asylum case is processed in the U.S. Immigration Court. We are concerned about this policy as it leaves vulnerable people in harm's way in Mexico without access to social and legal services. Another policy is metering, limiting the number of asylum seekers who can access protection each day at ports of entry. While the administration has ordered asylum seekers to apply for asylum only at the ports of entry, it is at the same time slowing down and in effect clogging the ability of the ports of entry to process asylum claims. This creates long waits for families in dangerous situations. Families who are discouraged or facing danger as they wait at the port of entry often go toward remote spots along the border to try to access protection. We believe this is sadly what led to some of the deaths of young children in remote Border Patrol processing areas. As previously mentioned, we are working to engage with lawmakers and DHS officials to ensure better care for families and children along the U.S.-Mexico border. We are also urging more capacity for humanitarian response. We have been vocal with the administration, publicly and privately, about the need to look at root causes and to avoid addressing this issue from an enforcement-only perspective. Instead, we must continue to look at the situation as a humanitarian and moral issue. We must follow the words of Pope Francis and urge welcome, solidarity, and accompaniment. To this end, we have publicly proposed solutions to this situation, including with legislators in Congress. Now, I return the podium to Archbishop Gomez to conclude.
So we have highlighted the two biggest migration policy issues, the situation at the border and legislative efforts for Dreamers and TPS holders. But it's important to know immigrant and refugee brothers and sisters are facing many other policy threats. I'm going to list a few here just to show how wide-ranging are the issues that immigrants and refugees face in our country. Without going into details, here are some of these notable issues. First, possible increases in family detention and elimination of protections of immigrant children. Second, restriction on access to existing benefits for legal immigrants and certain immigrant families, or penalties for accessing those benefits. Third, rules that will further restrict access to asylum and due process. And fourth, increased emphasis on an enforcement-only approach to migration, both at the border and within the U.S. interior. We are working to address most of these issues. Some of them, such as the eradication of protections for immigrant children and a push for large-scale family detention, are challenges from both the administration and some members of Congress. Others, such as the proposed rules to cut access to benefits such as housing or welfare programs, are led exclusively by the administration. Regardless of where these threats come from, they will all harm immigrant families. We are working to prevent these measures, and we will continue to do so. But we need your support. Most of all, we need your voice against hostile actions and in favor of more humane policies. So thank you, brothers, for your attention. And Bishop Vasquez and I will be happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Archbishop Gomez. Thank you, Bishop Vasquez. We are going to handle the Q&A here on both issues that we talked about, on immigration issues and on the working group for forming consciences for faithful citizenship. So any of those who have comments, observations, and all you want to make, please do. I would only ask you, we want lots to talk, but be succinct. We do have a hard cutoff at 3 o'clock because of they have to cut out this part of the room. So, Bishop Strickland.
Thank you very much, Archbishop Gomez and Bishop Vasquez. I truly hear the Holy Spirit moving among us as both of those topics come together on the agenda: faithful citizenship and the tragic reality of immigration in our nation today. To me, what I'm reminded of is that it really deals with the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, the threats and the conflicts in the world with that basic belief that we have are overwhelming to all of us. I guess I just wanted to ask the question about faithful citizenship and ask if we can bring that focus certainly to the faithful in the pews and the voting booths and the ballots, but also to the Catholic representatives and politicians throughout the nation to really look for ways to call all of us to faithful citizenship. I think in the immigration issues and virtually all of the sanctity of life issues, too many of our Catholic politicians are really not leading with faithful citizenship. And I think we as shepherds, we have to challenge that in all the ways that we need to. Certainly, many of the representatives, many politicians, don't claim to be Catholic, don't agree with the Catholic teachings. But many do claim to be Catholic and still are really at opposition to the basic sanctity of life in all the dimensions, whether with the immigration issues or with abortion or with sexuality, all the different issues. So I guess I would just ask us all really the question of how we can call our politicians that claim to be Catholic, that want to be part of the Catholic community, to faithful citizenship, because until we really bring them into the truth and living it with all the challenges that we face, I think many of the faithful don't really see a consistent message. So I just wanted to ask us all to consider how we can help politicians to be faithful citizens and to really pay attention to the truth that we are ordained to support and to promote for the people of God.
Thank you for your comments. I think the working group is aware of that, so we, especially we are careful to include all of those issues from conception to natural death in the letter and in the video scripts. Thank you.
Archbishop Wenske, followed by Bishop Rosasa.
The prospects for comprehensive immigration reform are very bleak, and having the H.R. 6 in the House passed for legalization of DACA and TPS people is a good placeholder if, in case something happens with the DACA legislation in the courts. It could, you know, then the Senate might be pressed to do something about it, and that's good that we have H.R. 6 passed. But the one observation I want to make, at least my lawyers tell me, my immigration lawyers, that among the DACA and the TPS holders, perhaps about as many as 20% of them have remedies available to them if they only knew. And so it's important that DACA holders and TPS holders also consult with credible, reputable immigration attorneys to explore if there are any remedies for them to get those remedies done before they might be rounded up in a deportation series or DACA disappears. That's one thing that we can do through our parishes is to tell our people in these categories to make sure they know their rights and to see if there's any remedies available to them. The second thing is that we have thousands and thousands of legal U.S. residents, people with green cards. And many of them have been with green cards for a long time. And now they are eligible to apply for citizenship. The cost of applying for citizenship are not cheap, but they're going to be more expensive as in the future. So I think we should be encouraging our parishioners that are legal residents to take the next step and to apply for citizenship. And our parishes should be helping them in that way. They might need help with ESL, English as a second language. They might need help with civics lessons. But that's something that we can do, our parishes can do concretely to help legal residents become citizens. And if you're only a legal resident and you get yourself into trouble, you could lose that legal status. So it's important that they become citizens. The third thing I would say is that We're seeing thousands of people in detention across the country. I have 3,000 unaccompanied minors detained in Homestead, Florida. So they're all around the country. And we, as pastors, should be concerned that we have our priests there celebrating Mass for them, that the church is present to them in this area, even if it's just on a Sunday Mass. But we have to respond to them and not let the church be invisible to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Archbishop. I think your points are well made, and that information is very necessary for us to have, especially in our own dioceses and our own parishes, to be able to communicate effectively to our people the importance of naturalizing their immigration status here in the country, if they've got those green cards, to be able to go through that whole process. More importantly, I think for us, is the presence, pastoral presence to our people. They do expect the church to be present, and visiting them, having visited also detention centers in my own particular diocese, I know they definitely want to see their pastors there with them, accompanying them in their time of need. So thank you.
Bishop Rosazza, followed by Bishop Beekler.
For faithful citizenship, in the past, we've highlighted certain key issues. Is that going to continue, Archbishop?
Yes, the document that we already have is gonna be there.
Oh.
We're just gonna add these two things to that document.
Okay, and I would like to highlight what perhaps is the main issue that's facing the world at this time, and that's climate change, about which our Holy Father has spoken. Vatican Commission more recently has spoken on that, that we're in a crisis mode, and so I hope that would be highlighted. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Bishop Soto.
Bishop Beekler, followed by Bishop Soto.
Thank you. Thank you for your very good work on this important topic. I just wanted to help people realize that you gave those ceilings for the numbers of refugees that would be admitted to the United States, but the policies are limiting the numbers in a much, much greater way. For example, in 2016, the ceiling was 85,000. They accepted 6 less than the ceiling. They were 84,994. The ceiling in 2018 was 45,000. They accepted 22,491. So the ceilings even are deceptive, that the policies that are getting more strict are, we met half of the ceiling last year, 22,491. So I think that's important for all of us to know.
You're right, Bishop, because we continue to tell and communicate with the administration and with Congress to talk about those ceilings, that they really have become more restrictive as time has gone along. And so what we see is a limiting of the possibility of those people. So even the present ceiling that we see for this coming year, we don't see how it's going to be even accomplished this coming year.
Bishop Soto, and followed by Bishop McElroy.
I want to take the opportunity to thank the work of the working group, and then also a couple weeks ago I had a chance to go to the clinic convening in Pittsburgh, and it was such an inspiring to see the dedication of religious and lay men and women across the country and who are working in very challenging and oftentimes frustrating circumstances, but are very committed both to the work and to the people they serve. And it gives anything that we say publicly so much more weight because of the commitment of those folks in clinic and as well as MRS, who are just doing great work. And we are it's so important that our works match our words on this issue. I would also wanted to point out the obviously the administration unfortunately linked trade and immigration and particularly the refugee flows from Central America in the latest controversy with tariffs with Mexico, and it just sends a chill through throughout the region and both here in the United States as well as in Mexico. And I'm just wondering if there isn't, and my fear is that it's not over, that it will come back again and there'll be another round for it, and whether or not that there isn't, this is an opportune moment for us to reach out to our counterparts in Mexico and perhaps even with some of our counterparts in Central America about issuing some a joint statement or a joint letter with regards to this holding immigrants and refugees hostage and using trade as a weapon, the weaponization of trade and how offensive that is. So I just would encourage the working group and MRS perhaps to look at that possibility of doing something with our brothers and speaking with one voice.
Thank you very much, Bishop Soto. We would be happy to look into that.
Bishop McElroy, followed by Bishop Taylor.
I just want to say I thank the committee. The working group's been working on both these issues. I saw the scripts. I thought they were quite good. And so the one point I would just ask, is, and I'm not going to help you, Archbishop, on your wording question here, or the number of words. I feel there are two essential questions that really supersede any specific issue in this election coming up. One is the nature of the sickness in our society politically and our culture. And thus, I think the primary obligation of a faithful citizen is before any other issue comes into play to try to heal and downplay the divisions in our culture. And the second thing that comes up, you know, Bishop Strickland brought up in various forms, is the issue of character. I feel we under-attended to that question in all of the previous documents. And thus in the letter, I think noting character, which would be at all levels, you know, particularly at the federal government, why people aren't doing what their conscience calls them. Character is important in terms of faithful citizenship.
Thank you, Bishop McElroy.
Bishop Taylor, followed by Bishop Pfeiffer.
One of the things that I think is often missing in our discussion is an expression of admiration for the courage of the people who have come to our border. Parents have the obligation to protect their children and to provide for their children. And if they cannot do so in desperate circumstances, then they're really obligated to seek a different place for their families. And so in a sense are exercising a God-given right to immigrate if that's what's necessary. Also in the discussion has been talk of giving priority to people that are highly skilled to come to this country. But again, it's in fact the ones who are in most desperate circumstances that have the greatest claim on coming to another place rather than those that are most skilled.
Thank you, Bishop Taylor.
Bishop Pfeiffer, followed by Bishop Olson.
Archbishop Gomez, Bishop Joe, thank you very much for what you and our committees are doing on these critical issues. I'd like to mention that a few months ago, the Tex-Mex border bishops met. Archbishop Gomez, you were a member of that one time. And
I sure was.
It's a very helpful committee of sharing of the bishops of the southern part of Texas and northern Mexico. And from that meeting, I'd like to mention a few things that came out that we need to be more sensitive to. The Mexican bishops are caught in a critical bind, obviously. People are pouring in from Central America, pass through Mexico into northern Mexico, and the bishops who are trying to help the government, often the government does not offer enough, simply can't handle all the refugees and their many, many needs. I think as a conference, we need to be more generous in assisting our border bishops all the way out to California, but especially along the Texas border. And secondly, it came out again that we need with our brother bishops to have much more dialogue with the bishops of Central America to talk about this critical issue and what are the root causes and how they can be addressed, and to involve our government much more in that process. And then as regards the letter, the video, which I very much support and I thank you in reference to faithful citizenship, I'd mention a couple of points, emphasis that need to be given in the letter and video. Since the last publication of Faithful Citizenship, there have been some critical life issues that have arisen that we need to mention openly and strongly. One of them is about the murdering of precious little babies who survive the brutal process of abortion, and there are many legislators say we can kill them, which is murder. We need to address that. Also, taking the lead from Supreme Knight Anderson, we need, as he did at the international conference about a year ago, with the Knight and bishops, about 30 bishops present, calling our Knights, calling our brother bishops to be much more accountable with Catholic people, Catholic legislators, who simply do not follow the clear teaching of the Holy Church. St. John Paul II pointed out in Evangelium Vitae that we're dealing here with some of doctrine, and we have to be like the first missionary apostle who said, first we listen to God, then to men. I think we have to be much stronger in addressing that issue of legislators, Catholic legislators, who simply cast to one side our Catholic doctrine.
Thank you, Bishop Feiber. I'm sure that you may be happy to know that now we also have, again, the Alta Baja meeting, Alta Baja California, with the bishops of Baja California in Mexico.
Bishop Olson.
I'd like to thank the bishops, especially the bishops of the working group, and as well as the chairs, for your hard work on this. Just two questions, really, or points of request. I'd ask the working committee, as we develop faithful citizenship, to consider addressing the responsibility that all of us have towards civil discourse in political life, and especially including the means of social media. And then also, perhaps by way of affirmation, in tying with Bishop McElroy's statement about character, just the generosity required of those who place themselves into public life for service to the common good in political life and serving in whatever office they hold. Thank you.
Thank you.
Archbishop, do they still, I presume you are paying attention to any initiatives relative to the unaccompanied minors we have? This is particularly a problem in Texas. I'm sure it's everywhere. And Karen, concern for them and the use and abuse of these young people. To what extent is there a possibility of intervening with the administration on this?
Try. Your Eminence, we have tried to advocate very strongly for the unaccompanied minors. That has been really primary for us. Up to now, at least, our conversations have been basically the status quo, and So we've not been able to make much inroads. Uh-huh. We've tried, but we're not very successful in that. But we will continue to work out that. Doesn't mean we're going to stop advocating for them. I think that's a good thing. We need to do that.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Any of the other brothers have any comment?
Oh, we have here Bishop Baker.
Bishop Baker.
Just to follow up to Bishop McElroy's comment, Bishop Olson, about the courage of individuals who take stands, and politically it's not an easy thing to do, and I think that we should support them in any way we can. Just in Alabama recently, the law was passed, was regarded as the most extreme law protecting infants, and the governor paid a price for that. The state may pay a price for it as well economically, but they took a courageous stand. And I have to also laud the Baptists in our state who were very supportive of that direction. I wonder how strongly we Catholics were as well. So I just want to think that we as bishops should be supportive when people do take those stands, stand behind them, because politically they could lose their positions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Do we have anyone? No, that's someone in the back. Yes. Can't see your face. It's a
Bishop Weisenberger. I try to fly under the radar. I find there are two paradigms. I'm very grateful to the work of the working group. There seem to be two paradigms when we speak about immigration issues. One is the primarily political paradigm. The other I find emerging more and more is that of humanitarian crisis. And I think there are those in the secular world that really want to keep the focus on political paradigm. It becomes very kind of distant. And yet I think the more authentic paradigm is humanitarian crisis. I find that whenever with individual Catholics in my diocese, when I connect someone with actual asylum seekers, they make that transition very quickly. I realize both are important. We have to have some political response to this. But I find the more authentic paradigm is humanitarian crisis. And once people get that, it not only informs them better, which is our job, but it moves their hearts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all, and especially thank you to the members of the working groups and also the staff of the conference for helping us to work on these issues. I think you can see that they're very important issues, and I'm very grateful to all of you. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Archbishop Gomez. Archbishop Gomez has worked very hard on the Working Group of Faithful Citizenship, and again, for some time now, has been heading up the Working Group on Immigration Issues. So thanks for that work. At this point, we have arrived at the 3 o'clock hour. As a reminder, the amendments for action items 3, 4, and 5 are due by 5 p.m. today in the trays outside this meeting room. Before we adjourn, Monsignor Bransfeld has a couple of announcements.
Thank you, Your Eminence. Bishops, the meeting for Metropolitans begins at 3:45 p.m. in the Laurel Room on the fourth floor at 3:45 p.m. today. The opening liturgy will commence at 5:15 p.m. right over this way in the Grand Ballroom, 1 to 5 on the third floor. Tomorrow we will have regional and provincial meetings from 9 a.m. until 12:30 p.m. and we reconvene in this room in general session at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. Thank you, Your Eminence.
Question. Archbishop Vigneron.
Your Eminence, there was talk, some mention of clearing the room. Are we able to leave our things at our place, or how does that go, Monsignor?
Yes, Archbishop, thank you. You are able to leave your belongings at your place. These tables won't be moved. It's just this wall that has to come down and some seating set up along the side. So you're able to leave anything that you would like in the room.
Okay. Thank you very much, General. See you tomorrow morning.
How are you?
How are you?
I saw you this morning across the way.